How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Stay tuned. Today's show is sponsored by ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire, and you can try it for free by visiting ZipRecruiter.com/lasts. L-A-S-T-S. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/lasts. What's up, guys? It has been too long. We're back in the game. Back at it again with the white Vans. We missed y'all. Holla at your boy. Or if you're a girl, holla at your girl. You got anything to say?
No.
Did you miss the people?
Missed you guys.
You missed the people. Guys, every day Alyssa is always just craving the podcast peeps. She's always like, where are my homies? I need to talk to them.
Oh, stop. Also, you guys, today's been a long day for us, so if we're a little loopy.
Or I can already tell I'm kind of not drawling my sentences, but like what's that phrase? Basically where my
You're not able to make words?
Yeah. Hmm. Guys, it's this it wasn't a crazy day. We just tried to fit in a lot.
It was busy.
Well, yeah, it's the, you know, self-employed entrepreneurial video life where like, and with little kid life, where basically we try to fit so much where we always have these projects and videos and things we have to record and shoot. And instead of just kind of doing them like every once in a while, it's easier if the kids are out of the house for us to just pound it out. But obviously we can't have them out of the house every day. So we have her parents, Alyssa's parents, watch the kids. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, then we feel like obligated to just crush life. So they took the kids today, took them to the aquarium, and we crushed life. Did we not?
And then think of like a normal person's crushing and up that by five, and that's Jeff's like normal day.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. He just goes really hard, really fast. Bum, 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 bum.
Ooh, I liked it.
Anyway, so we're finally, the kids are down and we're recording and we're so excited to be here with you guys, but yes. If we're a little loopy, you just know why.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, if you guys listen to us normally, what we usually do is the first half of the show, we'll talk about life and culture and what's going on in our lives, what we've been reading, what we've been doing, and then we'll answer your questions for the second half. But I did a new round of asking your guys' questions on Facebook, which if you don't follow us, my page is facebook.com/JeffersonBethkeyPage. And Alyssa's is @AlyssaJoyBethkey. I just did a new round of questions and you guys just like overwhelmed us. And so I thought, you know what, let's do a curveball for this episode, maybe next episode, where it's just all Q&A because the questions,
not only all Q&a.
Yeah. Well, not only did they ask a lot, but they asked really good ones, I thought.
All right.
And so I wanted to just take it there, make it easy for us.
Special Q&A edition.
Yeah. So where do we start? Let's see here.
Can we just talk about one thing?
Yeah. Talk about one thing.
Okay. Can we just talk about This Is Us?
Oh, you guys.
Okay. So
we're on like episodes.
We're only on episode 6.
And I think there's 13 currently on season 2.
Yes, because Jeff and I, like, it's too good to watch in real time. So we like to save it up as much as we can and then just binge watch it.
Yeah. Like we have literally, we are so millennial that we have literally lost the ability to actually keep up with the show live. And if it is live, it's so detestable that I am just like, no, I'm disgusted. I will never tune in Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. for your show.
Babe.
Well, I'm joking. But it's funny how, like, you know, you grew up like that, where everyone would gather around at 7 p.m. or do this and you'd watch your show and you get your popcorn. But I like literally can't do that now. Like, I have to be able to watch multiple at a time. So we've been delaying watching This and Us. Mm-hmm. This Is Us for how long? Like, couple months, whenever it started. Well, the season 2
now started. Well, no, like this week.
But I mean, but when the second season started, like last year,
I don't even know.
Yeah. So guys, anyway. but we realize we're getting close.
So if you are a This Is Us fan, shout out to us. And just, okay, so we're only on episode 6, so you know, like,
yeah,
half of what you,
yeah,
probably
don't give
watched.
Us don't give us spoilers.
Can we just talk about our favorite parts?
Sure. You go first.
You go first.
I basically don't have any favorite parts.
Our favorite person?
Yeah.
Our favorite
So
moment?
I'm a Jack Pearson guy, guys. I want to be, like I said this the other night, I want to be Jack Pearson minus the alcoholic part. but honestly, from a TV standpoint, him and maybe Zeke Braverman are like the only like faithful visionary dads, honestly, that I see portrayed in television, in the sense of just like leadership and casting a vision and legacy over their family and leading this little tribe. And obviously they obviously have their downfalls, Jack alcoholic. But yeah, I love the picture.
Okay. But question is, do you
portray
like him better in this season or season 1?
I like him in this season.
Why?
Because I feel like he's very, I feel like he's more,
well, obviously he's going, the deeper picture.
Yeah, he's going through more junk, so obviously you know he has more problems. But I do think because that he's very, even the way he goes through the junk, he's really like, the way he, with Rebecca, he's like really repentant and really like tender and humble and and then just the way he leads the kids and loves them. And yeah, I love him. I think he's awesome. He's one of my favorite characters to watch. Mm. What about you?
Oh man, I don't even know. I feel like the last episode we watched with Deja's mom in jail, we were just saying like, wow, they just handle like what's going on in their culture so well.
Yeah.
And
it's such an accurate picture of real life more than almost any TV show.
Yeah. It just makes you see things from a different perspective. Yeah. If you haven't grown up in that, what do you call that?
That perspective or that.
Yeah, that yeah. perspective. Yeah. So that's really good. But the episode that really got me was the one, episode 5. I'm trying to think exactly what happened. When it showed, what's the mom's name?
Rebecca?
Yeah. And she was talking to Randall when she met him in the hospital. And then she was also talking to her granddaughter when she was first born.
Oh, yeah. That was a cool scene where they basically, it was like Rebecca of the present and Rebecca of the 70s or whatever, talking to Randall as a baby and then Tess and as then a granddaughter, like daughter. At the same time. That was a cool scene.
Okay. The whole monologue she gave, yeah. I was just literally blubbering, bawling. Yeah.
Guys, we it never, was so we don't good. Like, we don't like look at each other when we're watching, but we always know someone's crying because you start hearing the noise, you know, the sniffles, the tears, the wipe
crying,
away.
But I can never look over because I'm crying too much. And then he's always like, oh man, that got me too.
Yeah. No, I definitely cry during This Is Us.
Anyway. Yeah. So good.
So good.
So if you don't watch This Is Us, you just need to.
Yes. It's one of the best TV shows out there.
And the thing is, it's hopeful. Hopeful. Even though it's heavy, it's like, and like current day. Yeah,
it's still very,
I feel like it always ends on a high. Yeah,
the family's note. A team. They fight for each other. They love each other. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we could go to Q&A. We had to.
No, that's good.
I just wanted to process that a little bit.
That's good. Should we go to Q&A?
Sure.
Okay. The one that got asked a good amount and then got asked on Instagram and then got liked 9 times on Facebook was by Jerrica Goodwin, and she said, how did you know when it was time to add kids to your family? Was there a point or a goal you wanted to reach first, or did it just happen? Well, to make this story short, it just happened.
We were in the 3 to 5 year plan.
Yeah, it's like, you know, everyone who's married gets this annoying question of, they like, you get asked it every 5 seconds, and so you kind of have to come up with an answer that's just kind of like pat stock, like you got it dialed in, you can say it in a sentence or two with your eyes closed, whatever, you know. And ours was like, oh, 3 to 5 years, 3 to 5 years, 3 to 5 years. 10 months in, Alyssa hands me this little stick that says like pregnant, and I was like, say what?
It was an oopsie, but a really, really good oopsie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the weird part is I'm so like,
but Jeff's always wanted kids, so I don't think you would have cared either way.
No, yeah, it's such a blessing because you look, mm-hmm. I remember our 5-year anniversary was a couple months ago, and I feel like, man, if we actually were still on that plan, then like we wouldn't have any kids right now still, or like a 1 month old, or just, that's crazy to think about. So I'm just, when all the blessing that Kinsley and Cannon are, and how long of a blessing mm-hmm. they've been to us for years, I just think that's awesome. But yes, yeah, so, I mean, what would you say? What would be your wisdom to someone who kind of seems like, yeah, when do we know how? When's the right time?
Mm-hmm. I feel like,
good question, Jerrica.
It's a really good question, and I don't feel like there's a right or a wrong answer. I think it's really between you and your husband and the Lord. And the Lord will either just make it happen, or he'll move both of your hearts at the same time. And so it's just kind of like really being honest with each other, being open, just asking the Lord what's his plan. And then also I think knowing your guys' goals and like what you want to do, but also really diving into that children are a blessing, and like not being fearful of maybe how hard parenting could be, or what kind of parent you're gonna be, or how it's gonna transform your life, because it will, and it is hard, but like it's so, so good. And I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, I think it's just different for everyone, and so it really is just, Kayla, what's your plan for our family? How can we build our family? And then being on each other's same page.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good.
What would you say?
I think I would add a couple things. I think one thing, everything that you said, amen. I would say, kind of piggybacking on the part you said about children are a blessing. I don't love the phrase when people kind of say, or they kind of reveal their cards when they say stuff like, how do they phrase it? Where it's basically like, well, we're not sure if we want to have kids yet because we still want us time, or we still want to do all our kind of adventure and bucket list or whatever you call it. Kind of basically just saying, I don't like it when the tone is like, this is when you truly live life.
Like your life is going to stop once you become
yes,
a parent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. And I think people need to be very conscious of if that's in their heart when they think about kids, then I think that reveals just a paradigm shift that I think the scripture doesn't call us to. I think when you're married, I do think one of the primary vehicles of a marriage or primary callings or purposes of marriage is to bring children into the world. Now, of course, because of sin and brokenness and infertility, miscarriage, all of the above, that's not always possible. And I think the Lord is amazingly gracious in working around that, whether that's through adoption or foster, or you just become spiritual parents to people for the rest of your life, whatever it is. But I think in general, it's clear that marriage in general, one of the primary purposes and vehicles is to bring basically image bearers into the world in the same way that God brought us into the world, like created us as image bearers, kind of from the Genesis mandate, to worship him and to, you know, create good in the world. So I think, yeah, I think I just sometimes struggle. I think it's a little more American than biblical and a little more individualistic, to kind of say that type of notion of like, my life's going to end once we have kids, or like we get to do all the fun stuff now and all the adventurous stuff now and right. do all our goals now. And then once we have kids, it's going to stop. I just don't think that's true. I think that's a bad paradigm. Yes, of course, there's a level of priorities changing and things that you are able to do changes. But I think that's because I think God's calling you. If he's giving you the blessing of kids, he's calling you into a better, more flourishing, beautiful, amazing place, not a place where all that stops or goes away. So that's the first thing. Now, to get to the more details of like, when do I actually practically think is a good time or not? I'll give one on each side. I think one, if you believe that you have to have all your ducks in a row before you can have kids, meaning like mm-hmm. you got to have just your life together. You got to have, you got to have the house with the 2-car garage and the white picket fence, and you have to have a good salary job, and you have to have, you know, strong, amazing marriage, and you have to have be by grandparents, and you have to have be by the best schools, whatever. I just think, again, that's a very bad paradigm. I think mm-hmm. that's not what God calls us to. I think God provides, mm-hmm. God is for you, he's with you. And you'll never have your ducks in a row. You'll never fully Mm-mm. be able to say, I'm so prepared.
Because once you arrive somewhere, you're just going to think you need something else.
Exactly. So it's futile and it's fake. Like you'll never actually fully arrive.
That's the same if you're waiting to get married, like yep. for guys especially, your ducks will never be in a row.
Exactly. And I think in some regard, it's better to do it when you don't have the ducks in a row and trust the Lord, because I think he's faithful and he shows you that he wants to take you on a journey. Now, of course, be wise with that. Like if you are homeless or if you like, you know, have that's a totally different scenario. But in general, if mm-hmm. you like, if you're living and you have food and you have shelter and you have, you know, and you can sustain your own body and needs, then you're probably fine. You can have kids. But then on the flip side, the only thing I would caution in regards to when is the best to have kids. I would say if there's any huge, huge kind of cataclysmic behavioral issue that has not been walked through yet, then I would yes. say, so whether, you
if
know,
your marriage is in an unhealthy,
like in a very unhealthy place. Yeah. Like, so I'm thinking, you know, porn addiction, drug addiction, serious anger issues, you know, physical violence, mental or emotional abuse, or anything on that kind of spectrum, then yeah, that's not an environment I think you want to bring kids into mm-hmm. until the Lord does the really hard, gritty work of bringing you guys healing and reconciliation in that place. Now, can he always work, you know, things for his good? Of course, of course, of course, of course. But I do think wisdom would say, it's very clear from the research and I think from scripture that children thrive being brought into a healthy home and a home that they can form a secure attachment and a home that is stable. And so if you're not in that place, then I think the Lord has some more work for you before maybe some children. But I don't know. Was that what you'd say?
I think that's good. And I think, I mean, obviously we're being very careful with our words because there's so many different situations and that, you know, it's almost like it just needs to be talked about. Like if we could just yeah. talk to you in person around our table, that would be so much better. But we're talking real generalities here. But I think that is a really good point, because I think for a lot of women in that situation, let's say you're in a marriage where it's unhealthy and your husband struggles with alcohol or drugs or anger issues or whatever it is, I think it could be easy as a woman to think, if I only had a baby, my life would be better.
Yeah.
And maybe that would change my husband, yeah, or at least I'll have like somebody that'll love me or someone that I can love.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that if you're thinking that, then that is a red flag, because
oh, it's so good. Does that, so
because
good.
I think that's preach, wrong girl. Keep thinking, going. Keep going. And I can totally understand why you, yeah, would desire that so much, especially if you're in such a horrible, not horrible marriage, but a very...
Or if it's just not fulfilling.
It's just not fulfilling. Not, yeah, yeah, totally. I could totally see why you would desire that, especially because I'm sure you desire to be a mom anyway.
Yeah.
But just to know that when you do bring a child in, it just gets harder. Like you...
Yeah.
And it'll be even harder because then you'll be struggling if your husband does something and it affects the child, or you'll be scared for the child, or it could just, it just increases so much.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
It just kind of, it makes everything
harder. It's just, yep, like if you're exposes dating somebody that's, yeah, struggling with something that's a red flag, and you're like, oh, if we just get married, everything will be better. It's not, yeah, going to be better. Nothing worse. Changes. Yeah. And that's kind of the same with kids.
Yeah.
And the Lord can obviously work through that, and there's exceptions, but in general, I would say if that is a thought that has crossed your head, then I would say don't pursue kids yet. Try to
totally
really work on the marriage and find healing and, yeah, flourishing before welcoming kids in.
Oh, that's fire. Yeah, I never would have thought of that, just because I think being the man's perspective. So thanks for speaking into that. But I think you're totally right. Don't look to the, that's another red flag of just maybe when you're not ready of don't look to the children or bringing a child into the marriage. If there's any aspect in your heart of like, this is going to save me, or this is going to save us, or this is going to be the key that like we've been waiting for to bring us to the next level.
Yeah.
That's just not true. God wants to, he always, before he takes you to the next level of anything, whether it's a job, a school, a child or whatever, he always wants to make sure you're living faithful and walking with him rightly now. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
And I just need to add, I feel like in that, if you are in that situation, then we would recommend going to talk to a counselor, a mentor, a therapist, yeah, and get their wisdom and insight in your particular situation. Because we are talking very generals totally here.
And those are very particular, so, big, deep,
yes,
dreams, hurts, hardships, pain points.
Yes. So please talk to someone that is older and wiser and knows your situation.
Totally. So hopefully that was encouraging you guys. We tried to hit different levels of...
Ended on a heavy note.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it was really good. And we tried to hit different levels of severity, where it's like, hey, if, yeah, it's just, true, you're just kind of generally not sure when to bring kids, you know, if you're like thinking about kids, hopefully this is helpful. Mm-hmm. If there's any hard stuff, maybe this is helpful. So hopefully that spectrum was helpful. Before we move on to the next question, guys, I want to talk about our sponsor a little bit more, ZipRecruiter. They're amazing. If you don't know them, they're for hiring, because every business needs great people and a better way to find them. And something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it, ZipRecruiter actually comes in and meets and helps your needs. So if you don't know who they are, they're basically a smarter way to do things, where they actually built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. They learn what you're looking for, they identify people with the right experience, and then they invite them to apply for your job. So business owners, entrepreneurs, please listen up. This is a great resource, great tool. And these invitations have actually revolutionized how you find your next hire. They've actually done studies that 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter actually find quality candidates through the site in just 24 hours, which is crazy. And it doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications that you receive, so you never miss a great match, and the right candidates are out there for sure. And ZipRecruiter is how you find them. So if you want to check them out, businesses of all sizes, big companies, small companies, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, they're the best for your hiring needs. And right now, anyone listening to Love That Lasts, you can try it for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/lasts, LASTS. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/lasts. So, hey, we love you guys. You guys are the best. Let's get moving to another question. Man, it's hard to pick when so many got liked. Here's a good one. Paige Niels asks, how often do you change your Bible reading routine, or how do you both decide what to read and when?
I'm sorry. I was like, how often do you change your tires? I don't know. That's where my mind was. So how often do you
basically change, like, how do we pick our Bible reading routine? How often do we change it? How do we decide?
That's a good question. And we're different. So do you want to go first?
Yeah. And I'll actually talk about that. So like, I remember like I think there's just no pressure, right? It's a walk with the Lord. It's a relationship. And that honestly,
and different seasons call for different things.
And that answers 99% of the things, honestly. Uh-huh. Like once I really understood that, that just took care of everything. But what I was going to say about that is there was pressure in the beginning of marriage where I just thought this picture of like, I'm the husband, I got to lead my wife and scripture and truth and all this. So I'm like, you know, I just had this picture of like, we have to do stuff together. We have to read together. We have to go through this. We have to go, you know, do this devotional or whatever. And if you like that, then do that. And we're reading a devotional right now together and we love it. But it's just, there's no more pressure. And there was all this pressure. And so I think we realized, at least we're very different processors, especially with content from the Lord, like the scripture and prayer and studies. So we just kind of do it on our own. Like we kind of do it separately. We basically both read in the morning, usually around 6, 7 a.m. before the kids wake up. I'll be in my office. She'll be in the living room usually. And we just go through our own things. I'm like, I go in ruts. Like I would say right now I'm in a rut where I just feel like I'll pick up and read a psalm or I'll pick up and read something in the gospels, but I don't feel like I'm having a ton of intentionality in the scripture. But I also don't feel like, and we were talking about this, I think a week ago, I also don't feel like I need that right now. I feel like almost what the Lord's trying to teach me right now is just to like talk to him rather than feeling like I have to read something. Now, of course, scripture is how he talks for sure. But I think just realizing like, man, I just need to pause and kind of center myself around his truth, his word, his voice, his love. And then there's sometimes, you know, 6 months from now or 6 months ago, it's more like, hey, I want to actually read through Luke in its entirety while I'm also reading a commentary side by side where I read a chapter and then study it, read a chapter, study it. So it just really goes, I don't know. I feel like when I'm saying out loud, then I would say mine is very, random and a little spontaneous, but if you think about it, not really, because we're still very faithful about every day. Now, I don't think you have to read your Bible every day. I just think it's a rhythm of ours. Like we like to get up and do that. And then it's one of those things where once you do it, you just do it. Like people that work out, you just get up and work out after you've done it for so long. So it's like, yeah, for me, it's more about the daily rhythm of conversing and talking and getting my heart right. And then the way that happens can sometimes be short, long, you know, devotional, scripture itself, psalm, book. Sometimes I'll be reading a Christian book and I'll just read that in the morning. And then when I finish that, I'll kind of just think and pause and maybe go look at some of the cross references, whatever. That's what I would say. Do you have anything?
Yeah, I think for me, it just changes on the season and what I'm going through, or if there's a study I really want to do, then I dive into that. Last fall, I read, what's that book on Psalm 23?
Like the Good Shepherd or something? Good Shepherd. Or Shepherd's Heart. Or
I should know the name because it's my all-time favorite.
I think the author's name is Philip Keller. Yes. Right? So if you go just look up Philip Keller with the word shepherd, that's what it's on. Yeah.
And so it's a
book. Oh, no, it's a shepherd's look at Psalm 23.
Yes.
Boom. Drop the mic. They're actually on mic stand, so I can't drop them, but boom.
So like Jeff said, I wake up every morning and I read. And so for that, it was just like I would read half of a chapter or a chapter of the book and then Psalm 23, and I would journal it. And that is my all-time favorite book ever. So I highly recommend that. Right now I'm reading The Gift of Being Yourself, which is my second all-time favorite book.
That book is fire, y'all.
So good.
Fire.
And it's so good and so deep. So I may read only like 2 pages of it and then journal about it, and read, you know, a verse or a psalm or a chapter of a book. But I feel like amidst reading that book, I'm also a lot of days I'm just journaling, or lately I've been taking a psalm and I'll read it and then I'll write what it says about who God is and what he does. And that's a really easy way to study. And you can even write then like, okay, then this is what it says about me. So that's super simple. And I feel like the easiest place to start with that simple type of Bible study is the Psalms, just because it's really, our dog's dreaming. He's like making noises right now.
Yeah. I don't know if they can hear it on the podcast.
I know you probably can't, but if I'm laughing, that's fine. And the Psalms are really easy because it's very blatant and about who God is and what he does. So it just kind of depends. Sometimes it's every season's different, and within the season, then it's like every day is different, but we try every day to just get to be with the Lord at some point in the day. And I feel like it, you know, when I've had newborns in the house, it changes a lot too. Sometimes I can only get like a verse in or 5 minutes, and it's a lot more of me talking to the Lord throughout the day, or reading the Jesus Storybook Bible to my kids and I'll just be crying on the rocking chair because it's so good, or singing along to Jesus songs with them. So I think it just kind of depends on different seasons and where you're at, but knowing that there's grace and that God sees you and he knows you and he knows it's not like he's sitting down and be like, oh, you should have spent an hour reading my Bible today. Like, it's just so, it's so much more gracious than that. And he's like, I just want you to spend time with me. I just want to be with you. Maybe that's on a walk or as you drive your kids to school or in the shower. Like, he just wants to hear from you and he just wants to be with you. And he just wants you to make some type of space where he can talk to you. And so, like lately I've been really wanting to learn how to do solitude, like to just be still and not even pray, but just like be quiet and have him speak to me. And honestly, I'm like, I don't even know how to do that, Lord. So I feel like I'm starting to enter this stage too of like, teach me how to just be with you and be quiet. And so there's just a lot of different things that you can do as long as you're just, it's just a relationship. So as long as you're just spending time with him.
Yeah. And I think that's something that just comes with time, where the more you walk with the Lord, the more you realize how gracious and loving and tender he is, with no requirement, but yet a desire to connect with you. And that's really like what it's about. And everything's different. So me and Alyssa both have mentioned that our kind of rhythm is like early morning, but that's not the necessary way. Like, you know, I know back in college, I could connect to most of the Lord at like, you know, 1 a.m., you know, because it was like, that's when I would want to read. That's when I really feel like I had all this energy and I could sleep in. And, you know, I follow a pastor who I love, and he was just on Twitter saying that his most productive kind of times with the Lord are 9 to 12 p.m. So like basically when everyone goes down, everyone's sleeping, then he kind of will study and read,
etc. I think it's kind of just like when you have time and when you're the most alert.
Yeah.
For me, in the morning for me is the most alert.
Totally. So just to give a little side nug for him, people loved what you posted on Instagram a couple of days ago about kind of your way to interpret the Bible or study the Bible. So talk about that for a little bit of how like basically when you are reading. I know, but really break it down I feel like the questions and, you know, the, I don't remember, but there was a lot, but drop knowledge.
Well, I'll just talk a little more about it. I love it because it's so simple. And I feel like a lot of times if you're a newer believer, you can open up the Bible and be like, I have nowhere to start. I don't even know what this means. Who's this guy? And if you've been walking with the Lord a long time, sometimes it can be like, man, Lord, I just feel like I've read everything. And when I read it, it's like not hitting me, because it's like I just kind of zone out because I've already heard all these stories before. And Bible studies are really awesome. They're really good. But sometimes it's just like, I just want to know your word more and just have it be really, really simple. And so the simplest way, I think, just a really easy way to start out is to just grab a journal and your Bible. And like I said, I would recommend starting in the Psalms, but you could start in Proverbs or in a gospel like John or Luke, and just read a chapter or read a half of a chapter. And you can kind of highlight or underline the things that stand out to you, or write a verse that you really love that you're like, wow, God, I love that verse. And then just make two or three columns. And the first one is who God is. And the first one, you just read it again and you just write down everything that chapter says about God. So like, let's say there's a psalm and it's saying like, God, you are just, and all that you do is righteous, and your steadfast love is ever flowing. And that's just a very brief paraphrase of a psalm I read today. So you could write who God is. God is just. He is righteous. He is love. And then you, in the next column, it's what does he do? Because a lot of times it's like, it talks about what God's doing, but maybe not so much who he is. So then I like to write out like, okay, God is faithful to his word. He never lets me down. His love is always flowing for me. He whatever it is, his mercies are new every day, just what he does. And then if you want to go one step further, which you don't have to, but if you want to go one step further, it's okay, well, what does this all imply or say about me? So for instance, if there's a psalm that's like, Lord, you are my deliverer. I need you. Like, you forgive my transgressions, all this stuff. Then, what it says about me is, wow, I need a deliverer. I'm a sinner. I need his rescuing. And then like, I am loved because his steadfast love is ever flowing towards me. So just like those things. And I feel like if you can just have those three columns, it's like, wow. Or like, you can read a psalm that you've read so many times and then you kind of break it down. And I've did that today. And then throughout the day, I'm like, oh Lord, you're just, or
nugs popping out throughout the day.
You're righteous. Or today I was just like praying for my kids, and I was praying for myself as a mom, like at dinner time, which a lot of times I can read and then I just kind of forget about it during the day. So I like this way of studying the Bible, because I feel like it really does penetrate my heart.
Yeah.
So later today I was praying and I was like, Lord, will you just show me how to be a parent that reflects your character? So help me to know what is right and how to make wise decisions of when to punish my kids and when, or when to discipline them and when to show them love. Show me how to always show them love no matter what, even if it's a discipline matter. Show me how to, you know, all these, like, show me how to give them mercy and to show them grace and to laugh and enjoy them, because these are all things that you do with me. And so I like this. And then if there's a verse that stood out to me, it's like, okay, I'm going to write this in my journal. I'm going to write in my planner. This is going to be what I'm going to be thinking about this week. This is what I'll maybe try to memorize. So that's very long-winded, but that's a very easy and manageable way to study the Bible.
That's good. Oh, I love that. You probably just blessed and changed thousands of lives there.
I mean, I'm just regurgitating what I've learned, but.
Oh, just humble over here, Miss Humble. No, that's amazing, babe. Hey, we love you guys.
Oh, can I just add one more thing?
Yeah, we still love you guys, but yeah, go ahead.
We do love you guys. But the reason why this way of studying is so good is because as believers, we just want to know the Lord, right? We just want to get to know him more and be close to him. But at the same time, in order to get to know him, we have to understand ourselves. And the way we understand ourselves is through understanding him. So it really is hand in hand. It's not like one without the other. And I think for a long time I thought, oh, I just need to know him. And me just needs to be pushed aside because, you know, like it's all about him. Mm. When really, like, you need to know both. You need to know who God is. And you need to know who you are. And the only way you can know fully who you are is by knowing who God is. That's and so it really goes together. Yeah. So this way of studying, it really helps both things come together.
Preach.
So me. We love you guys.
Hey, you guys are awesome. Have a good rest of the week. Hit us up on the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa.